Good morning. Let's stand together this morning and sing Happy Day. Greatest day in history when Jesus bore our sins for us. The greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. My sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. In this joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious way that you have saved me. And oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious name. Happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. What a glorious glory. I'll never be the same. Can that be your testimony? I'll never be the same because of what Jesus did for me that day. Let's sing this morning, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior. Down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the Lord,
Praise, O Lord our God. One of these days in heaven, endlessly we'll be singing His praise. Why don't you shake hands with those around you? Just say, I'm glad to see you at church this morning. Ask our youth pastor, Brother Jim, to come pray for us if you would.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We just give you praise this morning. Lord, thank you for the sunshine, the beautiful spring weather. Lord, we are just in awe of what you've done for us. Lord, thank you for this worship time this morning. Lord, help us to just clear our minds and our hearts and focus on you. Lord, if we don't focus on you, then we're wasting our time. Lord, may this worship just bring you glory and honor this morning. Lord, thank you for your love. Allow us to love people like you do. Lord, help us to look at the example of your life and help us to focus on that. And most importantly, when we focus on that, help us to be an example for you. Help us to speak your name. Tell somebody about how great you are and the love and the grace that you've given us. Lord, be with the rest of this worship time as a family as we gather together. Lord, help us to love each other. Help us to encourage each other. Help us as a family to come to the altar before you this morning and seek your face. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can be seated. Let's continue worshiping the Lord this morning by singing No Other Name.
One name holds weight above them all. His fame outlasts the earth he formed. His praise beyond the stars and earth. His grace as boundless as His love. He reigns with healing in His wings, the King above all kings, the lift up our eyes, see the King has come. Light of the world reaching out for us. There is no other name, there is no other name. Jesus Christ our God, oh, 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 seated on high, the undefeated one. Mountains bow down as we lift Him up. There is no other name, there is no other name. Jesus Christ our God, oh, find a hope when all the lift up our eyes, see the King has come. Light of the world reaching out for us. There is no other name, there is no other name. Jesus Christ our God, oh, oh, oh. Seated on high, the undefeated one. Mountains bow down as we lift Him up. There is no other name, there is no other name. Jesus Christ our God, oh, Jesus.
Think about this day.
Will shake and tremble before Him. Chains will break as heaven and earth sing. Holy is the name, holy is the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The earth will shake and tremble before Him. Chains will break as heaven and earth sing. Holy is the name, holy is the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lift up our eyes, see the King has come. Light of the world reaching out for us. There is no other name, there is no other name. Christ our God, oh, seated on high, the undefeated one. Mountains bow down as we lift Him up. There is no other name, there is no other name, there is no other name.
Other name above heaven and earth except the name of Jesus. He will receive honor and glory. It says, the Bible says that one day every knee will bow
and every tongue confess. That's not just Christians. That's every knee, every bow, every tongue. Let's continue worshiping this Lord. The song we use a lot of times during our invitation time, but it's just a good song, singing about the Lord. Lord, I give you my heart.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart I worship you. All I have within
song this morning is a prayer to the Lord.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart I worship you.
Brother Jay comes to speak this morning. Sabrina is going to come sing. Let's pray. Father, we ask you today that you be honored and glorified today in this place. Lord, we lift you up. And Lord, have your way in me today. Just speak to my heart. Speak to the hearts of those that are here today. Speak through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I used to wish that I could rewrite history. I used to dream that each mistake could be erased. Then I could just pretend I never knew the me back then. I used to pray that you would take this shame away, hide all the evidence of who I have been. But it's the memory of the place you brought me from that keeps me on my knees, even though I'm free. Reminder of how merciful you are.
Sabrina, thank you very much. Good choice. Good morning. Good to see you. Take your listening sheets, if you will, please. Keep them handy. Kent, thank you for worship and praise team, praise band. We appreciate that very much. Get a pen or pencil ready with your listening sheet, please. Now, I grew up in Illinois. Actually, I realize I didn't do much growing up. But what growing up I did was in East Central Illinois. My wife and I are both from that area. Our hometowns are about 20, 25 miles apart. It's sort of a semi-mission work in Illinois, still is to this day in that area for Southern Baptist. And our churches, consequently, were extremely small when we were growing up. And because of that, and because we virtually had no youth ministry within our churches, then once a month, our association of churches got together to do some youth ministry stuff. That's where I met my wife. And we met in high school as teenagers. And shortly after high school, we got married. We got married a week before we started college. We went through college together at Hannibal LaGrange College in Hannibal, Missouri. It was a junior college at that time. We then transferred to Oklahoma Baptist University, where we both got our undergraduate degrees. After that, I went to seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, and after I graduated from seminary, we had an opportunity to go to a place called Branson, Missouri, and that's where we did our first pastorate for 28 years at First Baptist Church. Now go back with me to Oklahoma. While we were in Oklahoma, we were at Oklahoma Avenue Baptist Church. And it was there, as a junior in college, I was attending a men's prayer meeting one night on a Saturday evening, December 13th, 1969. And during that prayer meeting, just a handful of men, God convicted my heart that I had never been born again. Now, I spent quite a bit of time that evening arguing with God, but God, I'm a Baptist. That didn't seem to mean anything to God. But God, I'm attending a Baptist college. This is the second Christian college I've attended. That didn't seem to mean anything to God. But God, I've been active in church. God, I'm a member of a church. God, I've been baptized. None of those things seem to mean anything to God. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I don't mean to imply that those things aren't meaningful. God just kept drilling into my heart, you've never been born again. Now that, my friend, is what means something to God. Jesus said it to a very religious man, as a matter of fact, in John chapter 3. A very religious man, more religious than I am, more religious than I've ever been, more religious than you are. This man was phenomenally religious, and it was to this man in John chapter 3 that Jesus said, you must, say that word with me, must, say it again, must. He said, you must be born again. He said, if you don't get born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. So that night, after arguing with God for some time, I got honest with myself, honest with God, and on December 13th, 1969, there at a men's prayer meeting on a Saturday night at Oklahoma Avenue Baptist Church in Shawnee, Oklahoma, I said, God, you're right. I've never been born again. I turned from my sin. And I asked Jesus Christ. Oh, I knew the formula. I knew how to do it biblically. And I invited Jesus Christ into my life to be my personal Savior. And I don't mind telling you, I've never gotten over it. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I got saved. I got converted. I got born again. Now, let me ask you something. Do you have a testimony? How many of you have a testimony, spiritual Christian testimony? Let me see. All right, almost everybody here. Now, what if, now don't panic, I'm not going to do this. I mean, maybe we should. I'm not, so don't panic on this one. What if we took the time this morning and I came around to each of you and I said, how about standing and telling us your Christian testimony? Could you do that? I realize some of you are saying, oh, I've got a testimony, but I can't stand and tell it. And I understand the trepidation regarding that with some of you, but I'm just want to try to hammer down and drill into the point. Do you have a personal testimony? And so what if we squared off on you? What if we got one-on-one? What if we looked you in the eye and said, okay, that's great. You raised your hand. You said you got one. So stand up and share it with us. In your own words, tell us. So do you have one? Or was it just a pretty convenient thing a while ago to say, okay, well, the preacher's asking, saying, I'm in church. Yeah, I got one. Do you have a personal testimony? Now, you may not know the date. I happen to know the date. You may not know the date. I'm not trying to press you on that. Do you have a personal testimony? Do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you know that Jesus is real in your life? Or is it just religion to you? See, up to that point in my life, and listen, I grew up in church. My mama took me to church ever since I was a lot smaller than I am now. And I'm grateful for the fact that she did. My dad was an alcoholic. My dad didn't want to have anything to do with church or God or Christianity. I led my father to Jesus Christ when he was 79 years of age. And he told my mom, you can take the kids to church, just don't bring any of that stuff home. Now, I'm grateful that she took us to church. I'm extremely grateful for that. I'm grateful for that foundation. I grew up in church. I joined a Baptist church when I was a kid. I got baptized when I was a kid. But it wasn't until age 20 that I got saved. Now, I don't recommend that particular schedule. So do you have a personal testimony? Is it real? Is it biblical? Have you been saved the Bible way? Now, let me ask you two or three other questions, and that's this. When you got saved, were you on the road to Damascus? When you got saved, was there a blinding light that hit you? No? Those two things sort of sound like the testimony of, Saul, whose name later became Paul. Those elements happen to belong to his testimony. I personally believe that Paul is and was the most profound disciple of Christ in the New Testament age. Let's read his testimony. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Keep your Bibles open. Get your listening sheet ready to fill in the blanks here. Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse 12. Beginning with verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto you. Delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. All right, now that's Paul's testimony. Now, not every one of us is going to have a testimony like the Apostle Paul. Paul, upon numerous occasions, gave his personal testimony. And this testimony is recorded more than once within the book of Acts. Now, by the time we get to chapter 26, which we're looking at today, by the time we get here, Paul has already been before Felix, the Roman governor of Judea, and then before Festus, Felix's successor. And now, since he has appealed to Caesar, he is standing before Agrippa, ruler or king over a certain territorial province, which happened to include Galilee. Now, it's in this context that he is before King Agrippa that once again, Paul gives his personal testimony. And so that's the context that we're looking at it here in Acts chapter 26. Let me give you these four things about his personal testimony. Well, actually, it's four things about your personal testimony. These four things. Number one, it is presentable. It is presentable. Now, verse 13. Now, notice who Paul is addressing here in verse 13. He says, at midday, O king. Wow. This isn't just somebody that he met at the grocery store. This isn't just somebody that he was standing in line with when he was just out enjoying himself. This isn't just somebody that he socializes with. This isn't just somebody that he knows because he's his next door neighbor. Uh-uh. This is one of the territorial kings of Rome. And he says, well, at midday, O king. This is Agrippa, who is the last of the family of the Herods. Now, he was a ruthless and godless man because he came from a ruthless and godless family. This man's father had killed James in Acts chapter 12. This is the grandson of the one who had killed John the Baptist and who mocked Christ. And this was the great-grandson of Herod the Great, who had murdered the children of Bethlehem from ages 2 down, every one of the children. And Bernice, who is identified in Scripture as his wife, was actually his sister, who was living with Agrippa as his wife. She had already been married to two kings, and later she became mistress to two other emperors. This is a couple whom you probably wouldn't find in your Sunday school class every Sunday morning. These were ruthless, godless, wicked people. And Paul is now standing before them in his own defense in front of these two wicked individuals. Now, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if you're standing before the king, or it doesn't matter if you're standing before a peasant. You have a testimony that is presentable. And that's the circumstance here. Your testimony is real to you. It happened to you. It is honest, it is legitimate. If it happens to be the story about when you passed from death unto life, that's what we've got there on the screen. John chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has what? Everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from what? Death unto life. Well, has that happened to you? Has there been that time when you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? You may say, well, Jay, you know, it really wasn't profound. I didn't say, were you on the road to Damascus? I didn't say, did you have a blinding light? I didn't say, did you hear a bunch of sirens and bells and whistles go off? No, that's not a part of the requirement, my friend. Have you asked Jesus Christ into your life to be your very own personal Savior? And if we came around, don't panic, but if we came around, I said, well, can you tell me about it? Could you say, well, yeah, you know, it's pretty simple. Okay. Did it happen to you? Was there that time when you have passed from death unto life and you've received everlasting life through Jesus Christ? You see, we represent the King of kings. And because of that, it doesn't matter if you're standing before the king, you are in fact an ambassador of the King of kings. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and God has reconciled you unto himself, and consequently, he has given us the ministry and the word of reconciliation. We find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. I think we've got that on there. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So your testimony, just like that of the Apostle Paul's, your personal testimony is presentable. All right, here's the second thing. It's purposeful. It is purposeful. That's found in verse 16. Where Jesus said to Paul on the road to Damascus, he said, "Rise, stand up on your feet, for I have appeared unto you for," look at this, "for this purpose." For this purpose. Almost no one has ever experienced the amazing kind of conversion like Paul did. Go back here in verse 14. It says that he heard a voice. He says, "When we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me." You see, it's the word of God, my friend, that convicts and converts the soul. So when you got saved, did you hear a voice? We say, "Well, no, I didn't hear that." Well, through the word of God, my friend, you did. You probably didn't realize it, but it's the word of God and the Spirit of God that brings you to a place of conviction. The night that I got saved at that men's prayer meeting at Oklahoma Avenue Baptist Church, I'm telling you, God spoke to me. It was just as real as God spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus, but it wasn't loud, it wasn't audible. I'm just telling you, God, through his Spirit, convicted me of the fact that I had never been born again and that I needed Jesus Christ in a real way within my heart and within my life. You see, Paul, even in his murderous, shameful, scheming, wicked life, because that's the way he was before he became a Christian, he had to acknowledge that the voice that he heard was from the Lord. Look at verse 15. He says, "And I said, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" So he had to acknowledge, hey, God's dealing with me. God is dealing with me. And the reality is that God's dealing with somebody right here this morning. God's dealing with you. God's speaking to you today. God is. God wants to intervene in your life. He wants to meet you where you are and take you to where he wants you to be. And then in response to that, look at verse 15, the Savior reveals his salvation name to him. Verse 15, "And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said," look at this, "I am" who? Jesus. Say that again. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Remember the angel speaking to Joseph back in Matthew chapter 1, when the angel visited Joseph, Mary's espoused husband, and the angel said, "Look, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because the one that is conceived in her womb is by the Holy Spirit of God." And then the angel went ahead to say to Joseph, "You shall call his name" what? "Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's the salvation name of Jesus. 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 And that's what happened here on the Damascus Road. Saul is giving his testimony. Paul's giving his testimony. He says, man, there's this blinding light. Matter of fact, it was so blinding and so powerful, we were all thrown to the ground. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And then he went ahead to say, there in verse 16, I'm saving you for a purpose. I am saving you for a purpose. And he goes ahead to say, to make you a minister and a witness. Now, make no mistake about it, my friend, that there is a purpose for your salvation and for mine. There's a purpose. Now, you may say, well, yeah, there's a purpose. It's to keep me out of hell. Well, that ain't a bad purpose, my friend. You can be grateful for that, can't you? You can be grateful for that, that you have been saved from the penalty of sin. That separation from God forever. That separation from God in hell. That separation from God not in heaven. And you can be grateful that you've been saved from that penalty of sin. But I want you to understand, that's not the only reason that God has saved you. You have been saved for a purpose. You've been saved not to just show up in church every now and then and say, well, I'm just going to sit here and God's called me to be captain of the pew patrol. There's a Greek word for that, my friend. Baloney. Now, he hasn't saved you to sit and sulk. He hasn't saved you to whine and cry. Yeah, well, I've been doing quite a bit of it around here. Well, stop it. God hasn't called you for that. He hasn't saved you to criticize and minimize. He hasn't saved you to say, I think God saved me to send me to this church so that every time we have a vote in business meetings, somebody has to vote no. This is a Baptist church. We can't have unanimous votes. Give me a break. No, God hasn't saved you for that stuff, but he has saved you for a purpose, and he has saved you to serve the living God and to delight in him and to enjoy the abundant life that comes only through Jesus Christ. We are to multiply and reproduce ourselves after our own kind, my friend, and we have been saved to become Christians, to bring forth more Christians. We are Christian children of God, and consequently, God wants us in the same way that he wanted Paul to be a minister and a witness. You have been saved for a purpose. All right, not only is your personal testimony, it's presentable, it's purposeful. Number three, it's powerful. It's powerful. And look at verse 18. Now, look at this. Verse 16, Jesus is telling Paul there on the Damascus Road, I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of these things which you've seen and of things that I'm going to show you, and delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles. Now, look at this. Whom I will send you. Look at verse 18. Jot these six things down. These six things. He says that our eyes will be open. Listen, verse 18. If you wanna lead someone to faith in Jesus Christ, you could take verse 18 because it's a phenomenal verse to show us what God does when we turn to Jesus Christ. To open our eyes. And isn't that what happens to us spiritually when we get saved? Our spiritual eyes get opened. And many of us would have to testify that, you know, before I became a Christian, it was like I was blinded. I didn't realize I needed Jesus. I didn't realize that I was going the wrong way. It was like my eyes were closed. My eyes were blinded. So that our eyes would be open. Secondly, that we would turn from darkness to light. All of these things are right there in verse 18. That we would turn from darkness to light. Number three, that we would turn from the power of Satan unto God. Isn't that what happens? And you may say, well, I haven't been serving Satan. Well, hey, listen, if you haven't been serving God, then you're a pawn of Satan. That's it. So that we would turn from the power of Satan to God. Number four, that we might receive forgiveness of sin. Number five, that we might receive an inheritance and sanctification by faith. All of this is in verse 18. And number six, all of this is through Jesus Christ. That's what he says, the last phrase there in verse 18. Man, that's phenomenal presentation of the gospel right there, because that's what happens when we get converted. That's what happened to Paul. That's what happened to me. That's what happens to you. It's just a tremendous work of God through the gospel. That's the power of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it happened to us when we got born again. And because we've met Jesus Christ, we have a personal testimony that is equally as powerful, my friend, as the Apostle Paul. Each and every one of us here today can testify to what God has done for us. How he saved us. And from what he has saved us. And the fact that we are on our way to heaven. And the fact that we're not going to spend eternity in hell. And the fact that our lives have been changed. Everybody with me? That ought to get a Sunday morning Baptist pretty excited, my friend. Now, some people have a more dramatic testimony than others, and that's okay. That's okay. But your testimony is just as powerful, and it speaks of the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God in your life. All right, here's the last thing I want us to see today. Our testimony is presentable, our testimony is purposeful, our testimony is powerful, and finally, our testimony is personal. Our testimony is personal. Now look at verse 19. Now keep in mind, Paul is standing before the king, and he says in verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa," I like this, "I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Paul saw the light. He heard the voice. And he says, "I was not disobedient." He was openly and honestly responsive to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now you were too, weren't you, when you got saved? When you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, when you turned from your sin, when you turned to the Lord, that was a time when you were not disobedient. Now back in verse 14, he compared Paul to a stubborn animal that would not obey his master. They used to have these prodding sticks as they were walking along with an oxen or a cow or a donkey. They had these prodding sticks that had sharp goads on the bottom of them, so that they would prod them along and goad them and prick them and push them along. And back in verse 14, Paul is compared to a stubborn animal And some of you, that may be part of your testimony. There's probably somebody here today that says, oh man, you talk about a stubborn animal. It took God something. Well, sometimes God has to goad us. Sometimes God has to push us. Sometimes God has to provide certain circumstances in our lives. And I'm sure in this crowd today, there's somebody that could stand and say, oh, that was me, Jay. Man, I was a stubborn animal before I came to Jesus Christ. But aren't you glad that God didn't let up on you? Aren't you glad that God kept moving the circumstances to move your heart, to draw you to faith in Jesus Christ? That's marvelous, because you see, no one can take your personal testimony away from you, because Jesus became your personal Savior, and it now is your personal biblical testimony. And Jesus Christ has come into your life, and He's made all the difference between heaven and hell, between God and Satan, between sin and forgiveness. Aren't you glad that God has moved into your life and that you were not disobedient? My friend, nobody can take that away from you. It doesn't matter what the king thinks, because you've met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and now He lives inside of you. What, do you have a personal testimony? Do you have a personal testimony? Is it real? Is it real? Is it biblical? Have you been saved the Bible way? Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you personally. I thank you that on that Saturday evening, you didn't give up on me. On that Saturday evening, you stuck with me. On that Saturday evening, you led me to a point where I was not disobedient to what you were saying. Thank you for coming into my life, for saving me, for forgiving me. Thank you for allowing me to be born again by the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for being my personal Savior. I give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me ask something. Do you have a personal testimony? I didn't ask you if you were Baptist. I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. I didn't ask you if you belong to a church. I didn't ask you if you attend church. No. Do you have a personal testimony of when you became a Christ follower, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior? Is it real to you? Is it real to you? Now listen real carefully. In just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. And I want you to get gut level honest with yourself, and I want you to get gut level honest with God today. And I'm going to challenge you in this way, because I'm telling you, if you just raised your hand a while ago because you're in church and it was a thing to do, listen, you're gambling with eternity, my friend. You're literally playing with fire. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd come running down this aisle today. Pastor Jim's going to be waiting here at the altar to counsel with you, to talk with you, pray with you. And all you need to say to him is, I want to be saved the Bible way. I want to be saved the Bible way. Run that around in your mind. In just a moment, we're going to stand. You come down the aisle and say to Jim, you may say, well, what are people going to think? Listen, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, my friend. It matters what you know. And it matters whether or not you know Jesus Christ. That's what matters. And that's an eternal thing. It doesn't matter what people think. You say, well, I'm a member of this church. That's not going to get you to heaven. Well, I'm active here. I do this. I do this. Listen, that's not going to get you to heaven. Have you been born again? So make up your mind right now to say to Pastor Jim, I want to be saved the Bible way. Now, I'm going to ask Christians to come to the altar today. You make a habit of that, and I applaud you for that. And I want you to pray. Pray for people here today that are just going through a religious walk and they don't know Jesus as their Savior. Pray for people that are members of this church, that are just members of this church, and they've never been born again. Pray for people in the community that don't have a testimony because they're lost. They've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. So I'm going to ask Christians to come and pray for the lost today. And then pray for God to give you an opportunity to share your personal testimony sometime soon. Now, you may be ready to attach yourself to this church or follow Jesus in believers' baptism if you're already saved. But most of all, today, make sure that you have a personal testimony that is real. All right, let's stand together. We're going to sing. Come on to the altar.
All I once held dear, my life upon, all this world reveals and wars to hold. That once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you, and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing
that personal testimony. Do you have it? We're going to sing one more verse in just a moment. Do you have it? Are you just hiding behind religion? Are you hiding behind a church membership? Hiding behind a baptism? Are you hiding behind coming to church periodically? Or even on a regular basis? Are you hiding behind something you do at church? Have you been born again the Bible way? If we squared off on you today and said, okay, tell me your personal testimony. Tell me your personal testimony. Does it have the elements to where you come to the place where you say, you know what? The only thing I'm trusting in is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and I place my faith in Jesus, who He is and what He did for me. I've done that. Do you have that personal testimony, and could you stand before the King today? Because let me tell you something, someday you will stand before the King of Kings. He knows. He knows already. All right, Brother Kent, let's sing just one more verse. If you need Jesus, don't leave here today without Him.
Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know suffering, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never.
You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord.
Go ahead and keep playing, if you will. We'll not sing anymore. All right, everyone up to date? Everyone up to date? Thank you so much. God bless you. I'll be praying that God will open up an opportunity soon for you to share your personal testimony, and God will smack you right in the face saying, this is what Jay was talking about. Go for it. Go for it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Be bold in the Lord. It's powerful. It's powerful. Because it's about you meeting Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And I think we're ready for offering. If the ushers will come. And then Kara Nelson. Is this Kara that's coming up to the
piano? Kara's going to play the piano this morning during the offering.
That is great.
How old are you, Kara? She's 9 years old.
I was 9 once. That was a long, long, long time ago.
Thank you, Kara.